भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, Text Number 43. Shilam cha vricha pari tushta chito Dharman mahantam vrajham rishannaha Arvitatma griha eva tishtan Nati prashaktaha smupaiti santim Lancha vritcha paritushta chitto Dharman mahantam viljham rushanna Arpitatma griha eva tishtan Nati prashakta samupaiti santim Shilla uncha of gleaning grains Vriccha of the occupation Parityushta, fully satisfied. Chittaha, his consciousness. Dharmam, religious principles. Mahantam, magnanimous and hospitable. Virajam, purified of material desire. Jushinaha, cultivating. Mahi, in me. Arpita, dedicated. Atma, his mind. Grihe, at home. Eva, even. Tishtan, remaining. Na, not. Ati, very. Prashaktaha, attached. Samupaiti, achieves. Shantim, liberation. Translation. A Brahmana householder should remain satisfied in mind by gleaning rejected grains from agricultural fields and marketplaces. Keeping himself free of personal desire, he should practice magnanimous religious principles with consciousness absorbed in me. In this way, a Brahmana may stay at home as a householder without very much attachment and thus achieve liberation. Purport. Mahantam refers to magnanimous religious principles such as very hospitably receiving guests, even those who are uninvited or unexpected. Householders must always be magnanimous and charitable to others, being alert to curb unnecessary affection and attachment in family life. In the past, very renowned Brahmana householders would collect grains that had fallen on the ground in the marketplace or those that had been left behind in the fields after harvesting. The most important item here is vayarpitatma, or fixing the mind in Lord Krishna. Despite his material situation, anyone who constantly meditates upon the Lord can become a liberated soul. as stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-187, Iha Yasha Hare Dashi Karamana Manasa Gira Nikalasvapi Avasasu Jivan Muktas Uchite. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna with his body, mind, intelligence and words, is a liberated person even within the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. I'm actually going to read the next verse as well, because it concludes these instructions to the Brahmana Grihastha. Sarvaha smudharidraja pitteva vyasanat prajaha atmanam atmana dhiro yathagija patirigijan. Just as the chief smudharanti he vipram siddhantam parayana tam udarishe nachirad apabhyo nar hiharanavat. Just as a ship rescues those who have fallen into the ocean, similarly, I very quickly rescue from all calamities those persons who uplift brahmanas and devotees suffering in a poverty-stricken condition. Purport. The Lord has described how brahmanas and devotees achieve the perfection of life. And now a similar perfection is offered to those who utilize their materialistic wealth to relieve the poverty-stricken condition of devotees and brahmanas. Although one may neglect the devotional service of the Lord to pursue a material life of sense gratification, one can rectify one's position by dedicating one's hard-earned money to the service of the Lord. Seeing the difficult austerities accepted by saintly persons, a pious person should make arrangements for their comfort, just as a boat saves hopeless people who have fallen into the ocean. Similarly, the Lord uplifts persons who have hopelessly fallen into the ocean of material attachment if they have been charitable to the brahmanas and devotees. So, these two verses, one describing the situation of the Brahmana householder, and another verse here describing the situation of those who cannot follow Krishna's instruction how to be a perfect householder, but if they can serve the perfect Brahmana devotee householders, then they can also receive the mercy of the Lord. So the Brahmana householders should remain satisfied in mind, and keeping himself free of personal desire. So the Brahmana householders, their goal in life, their main desires, are not simply to accrue massive amounts of wealth, big property, and so many servants. They're not interested in accruing vast material acquisitions. They're actually interested in the welfare of all living beings, and both materially and spiritually. And their consciousness is always absorbed in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahmanas are supposed to understand the Supreme Lord, one of the principles of one of the qualifications to be a Brahmana is that they actually understand Vedic literature, and one who understands Vedic literature understands the Supreme Lord, that the Supreme Lord is maintaining all of creation, and that all living entities are spirit souls who are being maintained by the Supreme Lord. So a Brahmana has that vision, and therefore they engage in the service of the Lord, performing various religious activities which are meant to uplift the condition of all living beings. So the Brahmanas really are accepting the same vision as the Supreme Lord is accepting as far as maintaining the material creation. They're acting as representatives of the Lord, the Brahmanas. And more so than anyone, the Brahmanas, especially if they're devotees, and here it describes that they should be devotees to be an actual Brahmana, that they're, as devotees of the Lord, their only goal is to see to the welfare of all living entities on behalf of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, because they're always engaged like that, they're actually liberated, because they're not engaged in material activities, but they're engaged in the service of the Lord, and therefore by acting with body, mind, intelligence, and words, simply for the satisfaction of the Lord, there's no karma involved for them. They do not accrue karma. Whatever karma there may be from previous lives is burnt up by the actions, their actions in serving the Supreme Lord. In this way, they live, you know, very, very simple lives, and putting all other, you know, desires aside, because a Brahmana is supposed to, you know, be situated on the platform of Brahma, or, you know, Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi. The minimum qualification for a Brahmana, of course, is that they understand that they are a spirit soul. Therefore, they don't act for the bodily necessities. They act for the spiritual necessities. So they're satisfied in spiritual activities, and they don't need to, you know, engage in activities for the satisfaction of the body, because they understand they're not the material body. So that's the situation of a Brahmana. Now, there are many, of course, who the Brahmanas are supposed to be of the different Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. The Brahmanas operate from the mode of goodness, but if they're Brahmanas and devotees of the Lord, then they're operating also in the transcendental position. They have the most purified knowledge, and they have a very clear vision of how things should actually be done in the material world. So therefore, they're the proper example for other people to follow, and especially because most people are family people, grihasthas. The Brahmana, Grihastha, sets the example for others to follow. But, of course, there are many Brahmanas, many family people who cannot, you know, be situated nicely in the mode of goodness. And they're actually fallen in the material world, which means that they're influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance very, very strongly. Here, Krishna is saying that even those persons, if they offer their wealth, some charity, or, you know, some kindness somehow or another to help the Brahmanas, who are simply engaged for the benefit of everyone else and not looking after their own needs, you know, very, very, very well at all. Then Krishna becomes very, very pleased with them, and they also become liberated, and they also become blessed by the Supreme Lord. They can also become devotees, and they can also go back to the spiritual world. by that activity. Very, very purifying. Now, one of the difficulties, of course, is that now most people in Kali Yuga, of course, are not in the situation of Brahmanas, Grihastha Brahmana Vaishnavas. 99.999% of the population are, people who become, family people and who have fallen in the ocean of material existence. Therefore, for them, especially this second verse, how they can become, perfectly situated by serving the properly situated Brahman is very, very important. The one thing that they need to do, though, is to understand who is the proper Brahmana Vaishnava, the Brahmana or, saintly person to assist. That's the difficulty. That now, the majority of people in Kali Yuga who claim to be Brahmanas, of course, are not Brahmanas. Because to be a Brahmana or any of the higher classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, one must have performed the Gavadana Samskara prior to the birth of the child. So the Srila Prabhupada describes, this was also in his family line, and they did this generally. When a couple want to conceive a child, it's not a private affair. It's actually, there's a ceremony that, everyone knows about. Oh, so-and-so going to have a child, and, they're performing Gavadana in some scale like this. It's not like the private sexual affairs of, modern-day persons. The easiest way, of course, that the devotees perform the Gavadana Samskara is they chant at least 50 rounds on the day of conception, and purifies the consciousness, and there are also sometimes I know I perform different fire yajnas quite often after the birth. Sometimes at there's one samskara which is done at the seventh month, and I will sometimes perform the Gavadana Samskara for people at the same time if they haven't performed the Gavadana Samskara previously. So it is possible if somehow they missed out that the priest can perform it, prior to birth. So that can be done. But it's described in the scriptures that if the Brahmanas or any even Kshatriyas or Vaishyas do not perform the Gavadana Samskara, purification process before conception, then the whole family becomes Sudras. So as soon as it's not done, the entire family, so one may think that, I'm born, I am a Brahmana, and my wife is Brahmana. We didn't perform the samskara for our child, but still, they're born in Brahmana family. So, but actually, they do not realize that actually, because of that, that the whole family has become Sudras. That is a Shastric. From their point of view, they may consider, by birth, I am Brahmana. But from the perspective of the Supreme Lord, they are Sudra. So, because many people, may read these verses and think, yes, I will give charity and assist the Brahmanas, but the first thing, of course, is to recognize who is even a Brahmana, let alone a Vaishnava. Of course, then, people have a strange notion even of charity. Quite often, as Jitendriya will know, people will bring the deities little bags of rice. They'll buy themselves a big sack of rice, and they'll take a little cupful, put it in a plastic bag, and give it to the deities, a little plastic So of course we can't use it because, you know, once the sack's been opened, it's unofferable. You know, what they should do is bring the whole sack and we'll get them a little bag to take home. They won't. Or, you know, there's a saying, Prabhupada quite often quotes in Bengal, that, you know, this cow is blind, so we'll give it in charity. Real charity actually consists of, you know, giving cows and grains and cloth, and, you know, these days people will give, you know, some money, of course, because people don't know. The main point of giving charity is that one should not give away something which, you know, if someone thinks, oh, this is not really, I've got no use for it anymore, it's, you know, it's got a bit of a scratch here, you know, I'll give it in charity. That sort of charity is, you know, it's something, but actually to give in charity, one should give something that is very, very, you know, much appreciated by the person, you know, that they have received something good quality, first class, untouched, you know, by anyone else, something, you know, and really useful for that person's purposes. As I remember one time someone wanted to donate a bull when I was managing the farm. They wanted to donate a bull to the farm because we had about 40 cows at that stage. I said, well, you know, I can't take a bull on the farm because, you know, our fences are not very good. You know, there's one person, you know, struggling to maintain, you know, I don't want like 100 cows, you know, running around the farm. Our farm can barely, you know, we don't have the manpower or, you know, the facility or the money. You know, we're struggling to maintain what we have. The last thing we want is a bull running around the farm. You know, and who's going to look after it? You know, is it going to chase the kids around? I said, I'm sorry, you know. He said, he got really angry. You know, he called me a rascal. You know, call yourself a devotee, this and the other. You take this bull. I said, I can't take a bull. You know, what am I going to do with a bull? You know? And of course, you know, we had that problem on, you know, many of our farms, that people would, you know, get themselves a cow, and because cows take a lot of looking after, when they couldn't look after them, then they give them to the farm. Oh, here's charity, but what they're saying is, here's a lifetime of work for you. I'm not going to come and help you milk it or look after anything. Here's the cow, you work for the rest of your life and look after this cow. There's my charity. You know, previously, actually, you know, if when they gave cows in charity, they also gave the land. You know, what good's a cow if you've got no land? They might give 100 cows, and they would make sure that, and there's the land for 100 cows, and those cows were all decorated with gold and silver, and you know, like this, and they would send, you know, people to even look after the cows. So many things. So charity, of course, you know, these days people have no idea of what to give. They see some drunkard on the street, and the drunkard asks for $5, and they say, yes, I'll give you $5, and the drunkard will immediately go and buy themselves, you know, by the plonk, packet of cigarettes, you know. I remember one time I was hitchhiking up the west coast of Australia, family of Aborigines. They said, I will give you this. There was a little child, naked little child, just a little baby. I'll give you this child, you give me $1. You know, he wanted to buy, I'd go down and get some port. But he was going to give me in charity his child, if I would give. So, anyway, yeah, people have a strange idea of charity, let alone, you know, who to give it to. Brahmanas are supposed to be pundits, those in knowledge. Srila Prabhupada tells a story. I think it was Pandit Nehru, the previous prime minister of one of the previous prime ministers. Who knows? Nehru? Yeah, they called him Pandit. So one time he came to see some students, and the students said, "Oh, you know, Panditji, you know, can you explain some verses of the Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "Oh, I do not know Bhagavad Gita. I cannot explain." This type of pundit, that, you know, even the basics of Vedic understanding, there's no understanding. Just the title, one is a, you know, so. And then many people are also accepted as saintly persons who are not saintly persons. Now, Prabhupada gives the example of Ravana. Actually, you know, there are many people, now this is especially so, well, you know, especially so in India, but, you know, all around the world, there is this situation where people see someone who may be vastly learned in scripture. You know, someone may be vastly learned in the Vedas, and even the Bhagavad Gita. You know, they can. You know, there are many Brahmanas who actually recite Bhagavad Gita, you know, regularly, you know, you know, even amongst the devotees, they will make the devotees look, you know, like fools, because they will recite all the Sanskrits just there. You know, they can recite the whole Bhagavad Gita literally off by heart, and it appears that they're very, very knowledgeable. Actually, they have no understanding whatsoever of Bhagavad Gita. Ravana was actually a great Vedic scholar. He was also born in a Brahmana family. But the scriptures, he also gave a lot of charity. But the scriptures describe Ravana as Rakshasa. You don't see the scriptures describing Ravana as a saintly person. You know, he knows the Vedas, a great Vedic scholar, born in a Brahmana family, very charitable, and this. No. You know, very austere, performed a lot of austere, great devotee, very, very favourite devotee of Lord Shiva. But actually, he's a Rakshasa. Prabhupada says, just because one is well versed in Vedic knowledge, even scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita, and a Brahmana, does not bring one out of the jurisdiction of being a demon. Actually, many of the people who are classified as saintly and brahminical are actually demons. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, and this is the case with Ravana, that one may say, how can devotees speak so harshly against Brahmanas and saintly people, people who are recognized by saints by others, but that's Shastra. Shastra speaks of Ravana, who is in that exact category, as a Rakshasa. A devotee follows Shastra. The only fault in the devotee is that they follow Shastra. If that is a fault, then that is excusable. But one should understand that factually there are many persons who are classified as saintly and brahminical who are actually still within the jurisdiction of being demons. And many of them, you know, even claim to be God. Just like Srila Prabhupada said once, you know, when he was in Surat, he went to a temple of Lord Ram, but there was no deity of Lord Ram. The guru of that temple, because he claimed to have merged in the form of Narayan, and therefore they were worshipping him. So there was no Ram, no deity of Ram. As just the worship of him who had become Ram. So actually, you know, people who usurped the position of the Supreme Lord is demoniac, to misguide, mislead people. Only, you know, people who have their own interests at heart, not the you know, real Brahmins as we described, have the interests of the whole world at heart. Those who have the interest, their own interests at heart, that, you know, we shall be worshipped as God, and let people go to hell for neglecting the actual worship of the Supreme Lord, as demoniac. Many of these so-called incarnations who are considered great saintly persons, just like in the, you know, Prabhupada's tells that Ramakrishna, before he died, you know, he said to his followers that I am Rama. Ram, who appeared so many, you know, thousands of, hundreds of thousands of years ago, I am that Ram. So, and they propagate, I think they actually come from the Ramakrishna movement and followers such as Vivekananda. They propagate the philosophy that why go to the temple to worship Ram, to worship Krishna, to worship Vishnu? Why go there at all? Because Lord Narayan lives within the heart of all living entities. And they term this phrase Dirija Narayan. Better, you know, just worship, because we are all Narayan. Even the poor man is Narayan, Dirija Narayan. So, you know, the poor man is Narayan. Give charity to the poor man. In this way, you are worshipping Narayan. And why bother to go to the temple? Of course, this is very suitable for those who want to claim to be God, because if everyone is going to the temple to worship Lord Krishna, to worship Lord Vishnu, to worship Lord Ram, then who will go to their temple? Or who will go to their ashram? Who will worship them? So, you know, no, don't go to these temples. Come and see me. Because, you know, Narayan is there. And, you know, envious that actually, you know, demoniac persons are very, very envious that if they see that people are giving charity to the Supreme Lord or his representatives, that they become very disturbed. And they want to stop it. You know, just like if sometimes, you know, you get that, you see someone who is very popular, and everyone is, oh, you know, so and so is such a wonderful person, so and so is one of them, and sometimes a feeling may come, why don't they, you know, why can't I be the popular one, like that, yeah, growing up in school or whatever, you know, why can't I be that one, you know, and people are giving that person gifts and, you know, attention and whatever, you think, why can't, you know, so you want to stop that, you know, stop giving all the attention to that person, stop giving, you know, what about me, like this, so that's, you know, that's the nature of envy. And when people actually see the Supreme Lord getting so much attention, getting so much charity, getting so much opulence, that envy is there. No, stop that. Why not me? I am also Narayan. And this. So, in the guise of being very saintly and charitable, they actually, you know, propose you worship me and you give, you know, you serve Narayan also by serving the poor people. So everyone, you know, everyone thinks, oh yes, this is very good. You know, such a saintly person, so much work for the poor people like this. The trouble is that if you empower people who are absorbed in the lower modes of material nature, you only empower their sinful activities more. If you give wealth to a sinful person, you've just given them more opportunity for sinful activity. And therefore you're responsible. The more you make available the opportunity for a sinful person to engage in sinful activity, you take karma you take responsibility. And that is why Krishna is saying here that charity is actually meant for the Supreme Lord and the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas who represent him, because they're not acting for their own benefit at all. Their only interest is in uplifting. So if you give, for instance, like devotees, if you know someone gives $500 to the Hare Krishna temple, that means there'll be so much prasadam, there'll be books distributed, and people will come, you know, as a result of that prasadam, as a result of the deity worship, they will give up their intoxication, they will give up eating meat, they will give up so many sinful activities. If you give that same $500 to others, they will go out and fill up the freezer with meat, you know, stock up the fridge with booze, the cigarettes, the pokies, and then enjoying all that, then have illicit sex, and then there's a child born, you know, because there's so much, you know, wealth, you know. So in this way, so much problem. Therefore, you know, charity is actually given to the most qualified people, because the most qualified people receive charity and they spend all of it for the benefit of others, knowing what others need for their benefit. But if you give charity to people who are very foolish, it will destroy their lives and the lives of others. And by empowering people in such foolish activities, as you take that karma. And it is, you know, very, very hypocritical, you know, a show. Actually, people who, you know, make a show of being charitable in order to be recognized as saint and having good qualities, you have to question, you know, why, you know, you only give charity to these people? Just like, you know, in any country, every living entity is actually a citizen. The cows are citizens of Australia. They don't have any documents, but they're actually citizens. The birds, the fish, all the insects, all the trees, they're all citizens of Australia, and each country has citizens, both in the human population and in all the animal species. So people are saying, yes, for the national interest. Well, what about, you know, so many people, the nationalists are not even nationalists. If you're a nationalist, look after every living entity in your country. So you're not a nationalist. And you're not charitable. Because you give to one by killing another. Here, you go to the soup kitchens, and, you know, for poor people. Here's your chicken broth and your, you know, your beef curry and what have you. So in order to give to them, you have to kill. So I will be uncharitable to so many living entities, and in order to appear to be charitable to some, I will steal from this one. And, you know, that's another way, right? We rob another country and keep them in poverty. And then with the wealth that we've usurped from other countries, we give in charity to our... Oh, yes, we are so charitable like this. And we turn a blind eye. So, you know, the news will come on, and the country that we've, you know, destroyed, you know, economically through our policies, There's 30 seconds, maybe 10 seconds of news, the troubles they're having, and then 10 minutes of the cricket. Everything's good in our country like this. No? So, you know, there's... But if one actually is a devotee of the Lord, only then can they really be charitable, because they can then see with equality all living beings. Unless you come to the platform of a Brahmana, and what's more, a compassionate Vaishnava, you will be on the bodily platform. And as long as we're on the bodily platform, we will see differences. This one is, you know, superior, this one is inferior, this one is qualified, this one is not qualified for my charity. But a Brahmana sees within the dog, within the elephant, within the outcast, within the dog eater, within the Brahmana, there is a spirit soul. So you see, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he travelled all around the world. And everywhere he went, the Russians, yes, come and take Rishad, come and dance, you know, take this Krishna consciousness and go back to Godhead. Africans, Chinese, Japanese, Indian, even Australians, yeah. New Zealanders, and, you know, when Srila Prabhupada used to go to the different temples, you know, if he saw that, you know, some of the plants or the trees were being neglected, he'd become very angry. You know, if devotees, you know, just like, especially in the West, they have the tendency to, oh, this tree's in the way, let's cut it down, get rid of it, you know, or, you know, what have you. Prabhupada would just, you know, he'd be very angry. You know, of course, there are circumstances where, you know, some planets become dangerous or what have you. But, you know, these things should be very carefully done. But Prabhupada's vision was like that. These are all spirit souls, and every spirit soul, no matter what body they have, material body, they deserve the welfare activities presented by the Brahmanas on behalf of the Supreme Lord. So that whatever facilities that living entity requires in that body, those necessities, you know, should be there, should be provided, and should never be disturbed. So, unless one actually is a Brahmana, seeing on the platform of spirit souls, and what to speak of a Vaishnava who, you know, fully dedicates himself to the service of the Lord, one can not really be considered to be charitable. It is a, you know, a show, and usually there is some personal profit. Generally, you see, as Prabhupada points out, many charitable institutions, if you went there and said, "Oh, today we're going to stop paying you all," you're so charitable, you know, you're such wonderful people, you also have such big hearts. We're just going to stop paying you all now. Now, amongst all the charitable organisations in the world, you'd be surprised how few people would say, "Oh yeah, that's all right. I'll still do this work and even more, and I'll somehow, you know, go out and get another full-time job." And so, no, oh, no money, oh, no charity. Sorry. You know. So here, Krishna is giving the, you know, really he's describing the devotees, and if one can recognize who is a devotee and a saintly person and who is a Brahmana and assist them, they also get the same benefit. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that if one cannot become a Sankirtan devotee in Lord Chaitanya's movement, if they just think favourably of the Sankirtan devotees, they get the same benefit. If they just think, you know, that devotee, I can't do, you know, I'm so fallen, I'm such a wretch, I can't do anything. But those devotees, they're so nice, they're doing this, they're doing that. I can barely even offer them anything, but, you know, I appreciate what they're doing. Lord Chaitanya is so kind that just for that, he will give you the benefit that those devotees are getting from their service. What to speak is if a devotee actually, if someone actually, you know, renders them service, assists them in, you know, in a very valuable way. And that way, even though one is working in the material field, you know, as a banker, as a, you know, a street sweeper, you know, or as, you know, anything, and dedicating one's wealth, purifying one's wealth by engaging in the Sankirtan movement, they also get the same benefit. So therefore, spiritual life, there is no limitations. One should never think that, you know, I can never be a devotee because I have to do this, I have to work, I have to do this, like that. One should never think like that. Krishna is saying here, you know, you simply somehow or another, whatever your situation is, you just serve the real Brahmanas, the real devotees, which is the real interest of the Lord, and you get the full benefit. So that is the nature of Krishna consciousness. I'll leave it there if anyone has any quick questions or comments.
Do you want to add something
In the first one? Oh, Purushottam Das appearance day. Purushottam Das, of course, is a devotee of Lord Nityananda, and he is one of the cowherd boys, associates of Lord Balaram, which is an interesting point because people, you know, think, why should I give to God? But one should understand that actually God is unlimited. He doesn't need our charity, and nor do his representatives, because he is personally maintaining his devotees, his brahmanas and Vaishnavas. If we just consider God's unlimited position, you know, when we give to God, it's for our benefit. When we give to his representatives, it's for our benefit. There's no benefit for them, for God or his followers, because God is maintaining himself and maintaining others. In each universe, the Supreme Lord's pastimes are going on, and in each universe he has, for instance, just like Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, in this universe, as we know, there are millions and millions of universes, and there are Arjuns, many Arjuns in each universe. Oh, not one Arjuna in each universe. Krishna will speak Bhagavad Gita and he will speak to Arjuna. One of Krishna's associates, except, you know, he is the Bhagavad Gita in that role as Arjuna. And similarly, Krishna's parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, as we know, they went back to Godhead. So although, you know, they had three births, and then in their final birth they went back to Godhead, which means who becomes Vasudeva and Devaki in Krishna's, when his pastimes rotate in another. There's another set of associates. The Srila Prabhupada gives the example that just as he has over 100 centers, and in every center he has a full set of everything he needs. He has a full set of books, he has his desk, he has his room, he has, you know, a secretary, the deities are there. It says, in this way, he travels there, and the full set of everything is there. It says Krishna is like that when his pastimes rotate through all the unlimited material universes. And in each of those universes, he expands himself, because they're all, everything is an expansion of Krishna, or Krishna's energy. So there is the Arjuna, there is Vasudeva Devaki, there are so many devotees like this. There is another Ravana. Krishna, you know, just like Krishna will want to, he enjoys, he is the reservoir of all pleasure. So one of, you know, he can't enjoy the fighting, a real good fight, you know, to the death, in the spiritual world. But he will come to the material world and he will enjoy a good fight. And some of his devotees, or some of the demons, they will come and Krishna will fight with them. So, you know, there's Ravana in this universe, another universe, there's a Ravana that comes in. In this way, there is a full set, so that Krishna's unlimited pastimes for him, all these various incarnations, are rotating. And by expanding himself, by expanding. So, what charity do we need? You know, what charity does the Supreme Lord need? He is unlimited. We can't even conceive of his unlimited opulence. He doesn't need anything. Yes. So, you know, just like Purushottam Das the core, some come from the spiritual world to assist the Lord in his pastimes in the universe, and some, you know, are elevated from the material world up to that position to become Nitya Siddha. And this way the Lord is unlimited in his opulence and sweetness. So we give charity. It is, everything is going to the Lord, because then he is distributing everything for the benefit of all living entities. But personally, he doesn't need it. Just like we give taxes to the king. The taxes go to the king so that he can maintain the country. So, and similarly, Krishna's devotees, they, you know, do not actually need charity. They're completely, you know, what do they need when that unlimited Supreme Lord is, you know, their very, very dear friend? They also do not need charity. But for the people who are giving, they're benefiting. That's the point. One should always remember that. Any other quick questions or comments? Yes, that's right. That's a fact. $5 to $10, it doesn't hurt them at all. And what happens, for a lot of rock stars, when they're seen to be good people and charitable, people will keep buying their records. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, it's good publicity. Good publicity. Look, it's not as if people don't have some charitable disposition, but those with the purest, you know, people are, you know, because we are a spirit soul by nature, it is our nature to be charitable, kind and giving and compassionate. That's there within all living entities. Even animals. Sometimes you actually see even animals are actually quite charitable. You know, to each other. And sometimes even to humans. Sometimes animals are actually charitable to humans. But it reaches its perfection in the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, especially the Vaishnavas. That's where the charitable disposition has the, you know, minimum or no personal motivation at all. So we're not saying that there is no charitable disposition in, you know, that all rock stars have no charitable disposition. They only do it out of, you know, a publicity stunt, what have you. There's some there, but there's a lot of motivated, murky stuff that goes on in there as well, you know. So, but if you really want, you know, your charity to do you and everyone else the best benefit, then give it to the actual Brahmanas and the actual Vaishnavas, and that way, because there's the least amount of motivation in that charitable distribution, it really will do, you know, have some good effect. Plus, that the charitable disposition of the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas is charity with full knowledge, not some blind, foolish charity. Yes, I'm giving something to you that's going to destroy your life and the life of others. Like that. All right. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.